Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, I'm Stephen Biscotti.
And I'm Justin Candelaria.
And you're listening to
The Saturday Morning Superman Show.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is a podcast about Superman in animation across generations as we make our way through the Superman Max Fleischer cartoons, which aired from 1941 to 1942. Today's episode is Destruction, Inc.
Destruction, Inc. is episode 13 of the Fleischer series and premiered on December 25th, 1943 in theaters, remember that. It is directed by Isidor Sparber, animation by Dave Tendlar, Tom Moore, story by Jay Morton.
And it aired on December 25th. This was a Christmas Day episode.
Oh, Sammy Timberg. Can't forget Sammy Timberg. Sorry about that.
No, we cannot forget about him.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I feel like a good time just to interrupt you.
Sammy Timberg. That really...
Did that scare you?
No, it didn't scare me, but, you know, like, it's a Christmas episode. That's, you know, obviously we're not airing it in Christmas, but
Jingle bells, yeah. Batman smells, Robin laid an egg.
But yeah, Sammy Timberg. You know what? I don't know what he looks like, but I have to Google, you know, like a picture of him. I want to know what it's he looks like.
Right now, yeah. But no, we're recording. It's fine.
And I also remembered we previously had promised we would talk about Jimmy Olsen.
Oh,
a few episodes back.
Like, what did we promise?
And then we didn't go back and talk about him, so we'll talk about him later in this episode, which is relevant because the Lewis character is finally named, and up until now, you can imagine that it could be Jimmy Olsen, you know, if you're more of a modern fan, but he is given a name. But without anything else being added to that, let's go into Destruction, Inc. And it's an episode that I quite like very much, especially following 11th Hour.
Just to be honest, was it the whole joke with the Lewis that's going to be coming up in the episode? Like, now whenever I hear Lois, you know what I think of? I think of Family Guy with Stewie. Like, Lewis, mom.
Look at that, mom, Destruction, man. Inc.
That's a cool...
That's actually
That is very Superman-ish for that title because of how the title just pops out with, like, a trail leaving behind. And, Destruction, Inc., from my senile memory, it's a very, you know, this is another fun episode. My favorite part, actually,
it's a very action-packed episode. There's a lot of Superman, like, just fighting people, and there's some good Lois Lane stuff. There's some funny moments with her.
But to be honest, I kind of do like the Lois character. And, like, in this episode, the intro, again, is going to have the newer, you know, more powerful than a roaring hurricane, you know, powerful than the surf, stuff like that. You know, so... We got the change, I guess. I'm just wondering why they did it. Then again, it's like, I can see why, though.
Yeah, you know what? There's quite a few things that, like, I really wish we knew more about the show, and it's not on, like, any fault of our own for not, like, doing research, but there's not really, you know, we're talking about something from 1941 and 1942, so there's some text written about it, but there's a lot of stuff that's just been lost to history where, you know, there are people that worked on it that were just never written about, and people that were never interviewed, and, you know, it was a different time in animation and entertainment, and I just wish we knew more about certain things that were going into the show.
That, and also is also in terms of, like, film and the film industry as well, because it's actually something I recently learned is that in film class they mentioned how back then with films like this, whether it's animation or long feature films, they were mostly just have, like, the main people, like, you know, cinematographer, director, you know, like, for this you got the animator, the director, the storyteller, the musical arrangement, and only those people get the credit on the screen, while the people who, like, maybe in other, like, production, like post-production, pre-production, they would be, like, left in the background. Like, unlike today, like, the person who, like, works the dolly is called the grip and gets credit for that. So it's like it's also another thing for times where, like, I guess in the film industry they just had to, like, you know, give everybody credit and, like, you know, give everybody something to show on the credits.
So Lois Lane goes to the Metropolis Munitions Works building, and she goes to investigate. A body was found in the marsh, and we learn that it's being run by a ring of saboteurs. And so she as Lois Lane would, she infiltrates the munitions plant. And, she's hard at work, and she's painting on, the missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, a bunch of other, big goons and toughs that are just working in this, munitions plant. And
this is something to note that kind of bugged me. I mean, okay, further warning, I'm not sexist. But I'm just saying, for the times, these are factories where, usually mostly men would just be working in, because the whole women there wasn't really any women's workers until I think it was this war at a certain point.
Yeah, because you had the Rosie the Riveter. And,
yeah, but I think
and
that was
that
later
stuff, yeah.
Later on though.
It's interesting because she goes to the Metropolis Munitions plant, and the foreman, the ring, leader of the group of saboteurs, he's upstairs 12:00, and he goes over to all the men on the work floor, but mm-hmm. he obviously avoids, he doesn't go to Lois.
Doesn't even acknowledge her.
So I don't think it's so much of the fact that she's trying to pretend to be a man, or that she's trying, I just think it's oh no, she's a woman working in this plant, okay. But she's a woman, so she's not a part of this upstairs meeting.
Okay.
And also she's not one of the saboteurs, so I think you could speak a little to that. But I love this sequence because we're at 4 minutes into it, and she's spying on them. She gets caught, and then they begin to chase her through the facility.
And she becomes Spider-Woman.
All I'm thinking is if this was in live action, this would be one heck of a stunt sequence.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting to see the Amy Adams Lois Lane do stuff like this. I don't really think. The Amy Adams Lois Lane, I could
probably
picture doing
not.
This, but maybe Terry Hatcher or Erica Durance from Smallville.
Or the one from the CW shows. I know you haven't really...
Oh, Elizabeth Tulloch?
I believe so. I think you haven't been exposed to her that much because she was only in the Elseworlds crossover, but she was putting in some work towards the end of it, I'll say that.
Yeah, I think any of especially the TV show Lois Lanes, where they were definitely feistier and tougher,
mm-hmm.
and they did engage more in that the action, I could picture that. But it's so much fun to watch Lois run through this whole facility, and it's a very action packed episode where these guys are loading TNT and they're fighting Superman and stuff. But before we do get to Superman, I would like to just add that with Lois Lane, it's interesting where you go from her, where she's a reporter to where she's working at the munitions plant, and obviously, she's a woman working here and there's not much respect being given to her. But then you juxtapose her being left out to where she's, chief among the reason why this whole entire episode exists, and mm-hmm. and that's kind of cool that once again you have a Superman episode where Lois really is the catalyst for the adventure and the action that happens.
I am just confused though, for this scene we are watching right now, the cop is the one who got shoved with the rubble, right?
Yes, and the cop is Superman.
I didn't notice that throughout the entire episode. First, I was like, how did this cop cocoon into becoming Superman?
Yeah, he's in the disguise. And
I get it now. Man.
It was Clark Kent in the disguise.
I should drop out of college now since I can't pay attention to an animated film. But I don't know how that got by me, but I was kind of confused for that because I don't remember seeing him change into that. Clark Kent change into that. I don't remember. But...
Yeah, well, you get that now, and then you get that at the end.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because during the beginning, I was like,
"Yeah,
I didn't notice," but it makes more sense now because I was confused.
Yeah, you have they put Lois Lane in the missile, and they're about to they're gonna shoot off the missile. So Superman catches the missile, brings it back down, and then he takes Lois out of the missile, and then he has a fight with the whole ring of saboteurs, and you have a guy swinging a sledgehammer at him, and he hits him in the chin.
The punches.
And then you have the main bad guy heading for a truck with explosives. He starts the truck, and then he aims it directly at Superman. And there's a lot of really great, you know, like real, like, you know, mano a mano, like, you know, like hand to hand, fist to fist, you know, good old like boxing kind of moves happening. And I love seeing Superman as like a like, you know, in a slugfest.
I just remembered, Steven. Remember what I was saying earlier? I was telling Steven earlier, I feel like I've seen this before. I now remember where I've seen it before. A friend of mine, the one who did the title for the documentary I made about Steven, that fantastic, you know, Royal Collectibles Avengers-style title, he was showing me the Nostalgia Critic video on this, because Nostalgia Critic, if you guys don't know, is a YouTuber, a reviewer. He's great, by the way. He did, I think, a series on this, and yeah, Clark Kent goes back... Okay, I see it now. Clark Kent goes back to being, quote unquote, fake Commissioner Gordon. But yeah, Nostalgia Critic. If you guys want to see also another take on this episode, go check out Nostalgia Critic. He's great. He's fantastic. He's hilarious. I don't know if Steven knows about him, but that now I remember where I saw it before, because I was like, I knew I've seen this episode before. But yeah, Nostalgia Critic, pretty good YouTube channel.
Yeah, I do know Nostalgia Critic. And I haven't seen that episode, but I do like this one. Destruction Inc.'s kind of fun, and again, I feel like the later episodes of the Fleischer shorts aren't really up to the same quality as they were with the earlier episodes. But it's still fun nonetheless to see Superman, and I particularly like Superman of this era. I love the early action comics, the way they're drawn, the way they're written, where he's just really, like, you know, he's taken on bad guys. And, again, I think Man of Steel really kind of leaned into that a little bit, where I would have liked to have Superman interact more with, like street-level bad guys. I don't really see Christopher Reeve Superman engaging in an adventure like this, but I could see, like, the Henry Cavill one, or even, like, the Dean Cain one to an extent, and certainly, like, the Tim Daly one. And it's just cool, you know, fun stuff. Like, the animation on Superman's face... right before when the Ring of Saboteurs, they're going to blow up the munitions plant, and you see Superman going to stop it from them blowing it up, and you see his hair, like, blowing all over the place, and then he, like, looks and he sees a truck of explosives heading his way, and he has, like, a shocked look, and it's very, there's a very sincere animated quality to it that you could really only find in animation that you can't. You know, you don't get that charm in live action, and I very much enjoyed this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, to be honest, I feel like in terms of Supermans, I feel like they would fit this Superman, you know, fighting like criminals like this. I feel like the Brandon Routh one from 2006, Superman Returns.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing the scene where he was fighting thugs, mm-hmm. and like one had like a minigun. Because I haven't seen that movie in like a long
time. Yeah, you get that in the Showdown episode when he's walking to the guy, the guy's gonna, when we did that episode, the guy's on the rooftop and he's walking towards Superman and he's like trying to get, well, he's actually walking away from Superman. He's trying to get away from him. But Superman's just walking really confidently and very calmly and very slowly towards him. And it reminds me of that shot in Superman Returns when the guy has the minigun on him and Superman's just walking towards him and, you know, like, the bullet hits his eye and really one of, like, one of the most iconic scenes in a Superman movie, I think most people could agree. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of stuff like that, that I could easily see the Brandon Routh Superman doing this. And as we were recording the block of these episodes today... we actually, again, I want to remind everybody that we've been recording these episodes on Friday, September 27th, and earlier today, CW and Brandon Routh released the first images of him as the Kingdom Come Superman, which at this point, by the time you're listening, those episodes will long be over, Christ. But as of right now, we've yet to see these episodes, and we've just seen the first images of him, and Brandon Routh looks fantastic as the Kingdom Come Superman. Alone, just the fact to see him back as Superman is really cool. But Justin earlier had brought up the fact that when we posted it on Instagram, that while it does retain the Alex Ross Kingdom Come suit almost perfectly, there is a bit of Fleischer's Superman, especially in like the belt and trunks area. that's very reminiscent mm-hmm. of the Fleischer Superman, especially of the build that he has. It's very much like the Fleischer Superman, but it's also very much the Kingdom Come version of Superman. And it was very exciting to see that.
Never good to have It's never that bad to have a you know a mix of both. You know, it's like how today where DCU you know characters they're coming from the New 52 mixed with some of the old, like how Superman Man of Steel, New 52 mixed with some of the old one. You know that to me I think that's how you get the best out of a character when you have so many different versions. Do a little bit of a mix. I kind of like it when they do that.
I think with like the Man of Steel like the S on his chest. If you look at like the Fleischer S. Mm-hmm. And you look at like the Henry Cavill S.
Yep.
There's very similarities to like the design. Like if you look at that, mm-hmm. I have the Cryptozoic Superman statue again when we record, and there's a wideness to the body of the S. Yeah. And then if you look at Superman
the wideness.
There's very it's very similar, and I the Superman emblem is very iconic. They were going for a more of a, like a neo-medieval look. To the culture of Krypton and to the look of Superman for Man of Steel. And I remember when the very first teaser image came out of Henry Cavill as Superman, which is him leaning by a Bangfolt, which I actually have a mini mm-hmm. statue of. I remember looking at the pose and looking at the suit and thought, oh wow, this really does look like a knight in shining armor, but this also looks a lot like the Fleischer kind of Superman, and this is what we're getting. But it's always very cool to see Superman in live action, and you know we'll take that anytime we could get, especially you know if it's someone like Brandon Routh playing him. But yeah, that just about does it for this episode of the Saturday Morning Superman Show. And you can find me at ReggieMantleIII on Twitter. And you can find me at Sherbert Downey Jr. on Instagram. And if you like this episode, again, you know, be sure to comment, like, and subscribe on CastBox, Podbean, and Stitcher, along with following us in the show notes. All of our accounts are there. We'd like to just thank, you know, Rick Sellis for doing the show artwork. Dan Gottlieb for doing the voiceover for our intro. And we want to thank Royal Collectibles for sponsoring our show. You know, this show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, and we want to thank them. And we'll see you next week. Be peaceful.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles. Your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.